hosts, T. Carlton Davis and Fred Johnson.
What's up, good people? Welcome to another edition of the More to the Point podcast. I am your host, T. Carlton Davis, alongside my co-host, Mr. Fred Johnson. What's up, Fred?
What's up, man? Good morning, world.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Can't complain, man. Love. How about yourself?
Surviving, brother. Surviving. I mean, that's the way it feels for me right now. Just surviving.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, yeah. Health is good?
Can't complain. Everything, like I said, yeah.
Feeling good. Are we back on track? You back on track?
Getting there. Diet still, yeah. I'm not quite low carb, but just been doing kind of the small eating blocks, 4 to 6 hours, getting my food in.
Nice.
You know, kind of just being, you know, eating whole foods, but just kind of whatever I feel like. And
You're eating whatever you feel like now?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's not you.
Going into the Super Bowl, that's when it gets strict. After the Super Bowl,
I was really trying to avoid that subject because I know what happened to part of America's team. Certain parts of America's team.
We're the best at beating ourselves.
The best at beating yourself. Yeah, yeah, that was a tough loss. Tough loss. Great divisional play, though, that weekend. Oh, my God. Every game.
Yeah.
Every game ended with a last-second field goal or something in overtime. It was truly exciting. A total turnaround from the week before. Like, that wild card weekend was garbage.
Yeah, it was.
But they definitely turned it around for the divisional. So,
well, I mean, this is what they kind of hope with the, you know, salary cap, other than not paying people, but it was for the parity.
That's what it really was. I mean, yeah, it was actually very good, very close game. So it was good. And for me, I mean, you know, I'm a Jet fan, so I had no real rooting interest. But for me, not seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl,
yeah.
That is so refreshing.
You think this is it for him?
I hope. I really do. Yeah, why not? Now's the time to go out. If you go out, take it. What do you got? Seven? Eight? How many?
Seven.
Seven, right. Yeah. You got seven? Come on, man. Let it go. Go spend time with your family, bro. What do you have left to prove? Now, had they won and then been two in a row, I could see coming back to get three because nobody's done three.
Three, right.
So, there you go. There's a goal. There's a reason. But what are you coming back to do next year? Win a Super Bowl? You won already. So, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't see a real reason for him to come back at 40, what is he, 2, 43?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? Come on. Let it go.
But you're talking about Tom Brady. And I think it's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth just based off of kind of how things transpire with the Brown situation. He lost one of his best linemen in the game. So I think that's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth of what could have been.
Okay, so you come back and you don't win again. Then we go, I got a sour taste in my mouth for that.
Then Giselle puts her foot down. And
I think she's actually putting her foot down now.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he's talking, he's doing a lot of past tense type talk in his cryptic Instagrams and
I always feel like
Twitters
that's a commercial setup or something. You know how they do it with
I mean, it could be
the whole Gronk thing. It's like, hey, Gronk, we're coming back, and like they're trying to set something up.
Oh, so well, if he retires, will Gronk?
Gronk's definitely gonna retire if he retires. So okay. They joined at the hip. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't be mad at what they got, like 100-something touchdowns together. Yeah, I can't be mad.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I'm just glad that I don't have to watch that nonsense.
Was it hurt?
Not that I watch the Super Bowl. I don't watch the Super Bowl unless the Jets are in it.
You want to watch it this year?
I may watch it this year because Tom Brady's not in it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So now it's kind of interesting. Who will win? You know what I mean? So, but I don't generally watch the Super Bowl. I do the commercials.
They are entertaining.
Yeah. But they've been getting a little whack the last couple of years because I think there's so much hype around them that now they're trying too hard. Before, it was just like, hey, you know, this is a Super Bowl commercial. And you'd be like, oh, okay, that was entertaining. That's different from the regular commercials that I see. But because there's so much hype on them now, now they're like, that's corny. You're trying too hard now. You know what I mean? You're trying too hard to be different and try to shock me. I don't know. So I don't know. But that's generally what I watch it for because my team's not in it. And again, I'm a football fan. I'm not saying I don't enjoy football. But I feel like for me to watch a game and for it to be interesting, I need a rooting interest.
Right.
If it's not my team, I'm not that thrilled about it. Now, like I said, the division round was great, but again, most of those games I caught the highlights.
Right.
So, like I said, I watched them. So it's just from the highlights I could go, hey, that was, yeah, it seemed to be a pretty decent game. But if I don't have a rooting interest, not really for it, you know? It's the same thing in baseball. I love the game of baseball, mm-hmm. but it's very hard for me to watch a game that doesn't have my team in it.
Right.
Like, I get baseball. I love it. You know what I mean? But it's just, again, it's just, I can't get hype for it if it's not my team.
For me personally, it's something about closing out the season. So mm-hmm. regardless, if it could be hockey,
yeah.
baseball, basketball, even if it's not my team, it's just right. okay, these are the two best.
Right.
Let me see what the end of the year looks like, and just to close out the season, it's just something that brings closure to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think most people are that way. I just it's just hard for me. So
yeah.
I'll watch. Don't get me wrong, I'll watch, but it's just like it's kind of like iffy.
But now with the halftime show,
yeah, this year's especially, yeah, should be very interesting. Again, it's only 15 minutes. You know,
true.
It's not like you know. It's not like you're getting an hour-long show or something, but...
True. But remember what we were talking about, I believe it was last episode or episode before last, about delegating the duties of the presidency.
Yeah.
I like it now. The pressure's not on one artist to right. be able to connect carry with everybody. It. Yeah. You got yeah. Dre, Snoop,
yeah.
Mary J. Blige is yeah. coming in, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. So we should have a nice...
Oh, it should be very yeah. interesting. Oh, yeah, yeah. It should be very interesting.
I'm expecting big things. Yeah. Especially being
Eminem
in L.A.
Too. Eminem
yeah. yeah. Even though he's not a L.A. native, but, you
no,
know.
No, but he's
neither
a,
is Mary.
He's a Dre product.
This is true.
That's why.
Yeah, this is true.
That's why he's there. He's a Dre product. You know, so is Snoop. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what that's all about. Because Dre is heading it.
Yeah.
Dre is the thing of it. So he brought his stable. His yeah. stable is going yeah, to do business.
They have helped make him a lot of money.
yeah. Yes, they did. Yes, they did, most certainly. So, yeah. So, it should be interesting. So, it's been an interesting week prior to us. But, of course, things are popping right now,
mm-hmm.
as always are.
Yeah, it never stops.
It never stops, man. And that's what we were kind of saying, you know, off air, is how the news cycle is. Like, you know, a little peek behind the curtain, you know, Fred and I do a little pre-discussion about
the
topics that we want to, you know, that we want to cover, that we want to talk about. And it's like, we'll think about something a week ago and go, yeah, yeah, man, got to get on that. And then by the time we're ready to do the show, it's like, ooh, that's kind of old news now, because the news cycle moves so fast, man. And then it's because there's so much bad shit that it just keeps piling up. I mean, but there are some general things that are always a constant, you know,
right.
in the news right now. And that's kind of what we were talking about. And you know, one of them was Mitch McConnell's slip of the tongue. He actually said what he really believes out loud, the way I feel, about American black people being separate from Americans for mm-hmm. some reason. And like, you know, That is exactly what they believe. And again, I was, like I said to you when it happened, I was like, I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked at what he said. I'm shocked that he said it out loud. That's what I was shocked about. I was like, yeah, we know that's how you feel. It's mm-hmm. just very surprising that you actually said it out loud.
Yeah. Now, I saw the clip. I didn't really pay too much attention to it because I felt like, again, we kind of felt you already thought this way. This was your thought process
right.
leading into it. So, it's not surprising.
Right.
How did his side handle that reaction? Did they just kind of sweep it under the rug?
Yeah, they act okay. like he didn't say nothing. From what I saw.
Okay.
I didn't see anybody on his side go, hey, or even try to explain it.
Right.
Or explain it away. Even with a bullshit spin, which is what they are famous for, mm-hmm. is bullshit spin. They didn't even bother to bullshit spin it.
Mm.
That tells you a lot. Yeah. They didn't even bother to spin it. Because, like, they don't care. Yeah. If that's, you know, that's what we think, they don't care. That's what that says to me.
And if nothing from him, oh, I was mistaken, I misspoken.
No. Nothing from him. That I saw. Now, again, I apologize if you guys listening out there saw something or heard something from him cleaning that up. But I personally did not. So what does that tell you?
I think it tells us, like we said, we kind of knew how you already felt.
So okay. So let's take what he felt and what they and what they believe. So what is being black in this country? What is it? You know what I'm saying? If we're not Americans, then, and we're not immigrants, so what are we in this country in their eyes? A problem? An annoyance? You know what I'm saying? That, I guess since you're here, we gotta govern you somehow or somewhat or whatever. That's what that feels like. Black people or African Americans are voting at the same rate as Americans. So I'm like, so what are we then?
I don't know. Well, I've always had.
And you only use the term African Americans because that's the politically correct. You could have said black people are voting as much as Americans. If you had said it like that, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because you put Americans in there, African Americans, and then you go, Americans, they're voting is just as much as Americans. So you see what I'm saying? So what you really want is, the niggas are voting just as much as everybody else in this country. That's what that sounded like to me, basically. You might as well have said it that way.
Right.
Because this is basically the same thing.
Well, I think that kind of stems to my whole issue with being labeled black or even being labeled African American to begin with.
Right. Okay.
You know, not to go, I guess.
No, go. Yeah, no.
So we don't say European Americans.
No. That's of course what, that's, not.
So by putting the African in front of the American, it makes it feel second class to me.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why.
Clearly what that is.
Whenever I'm asked, I'm an American. I just happen to be a majority African descent.
Right.
And I'll let it be like you can look and tell to see, hey, I could tell where generations ago your people might have come from.
Right.
But again, it's I've been here. I can't even count how many generations deep.
Exactly.
So it's like at what point do you just become American?
Right.
And then the whole. Yeah. The colorism part.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's race.
Yeah.
And that's a social construct. That's not real.
But racism is, which is.
Yes, but racism is. But right, race isn't real.
Yeah.
That was some made up shit to create division.
But why do we still adhere to these to these archaic laws? I mean, whether it be the one drop rule. I mean, it's whoever your dad, I've heard whoever your dad was, that's the ethnicity you're supposed to claim or be. There's a lot of these unwritten rules that different people go by.
Well, the one drop rule is not unwritten. That shit's in the Constitution. You know what I'm saying? Of course, they made an amendment to it, I believe. And again, if I'm not exactly correct, please feel free to go on any of our social media.
Yeah, fact check. Yeah.
And fact check me, because I told you, we all about facts. But I believe it's still in the Constitution. Now, I know it may have been some amendments to it because it's so archaic, but.
So just one drop, right?
That's all it takes.
One drop.
That's all it takes.
So how far does this go back? Seeing as how most of us at some point in time, we all migrated from Africa. At what point? Are we just all black?
This is why I say race is made up. It was done to cause division.
Right.
So these are, you could be able to say them and us. That's why race was created. And being that is the foundation of it all, that is why we have racism and still have it. Because that was made the foundation of this country was race.
So do you think what do you think came first, the racism or the colorism? It could be like kind of a chicken or egg type of.
Yeah, I think it kind of is. I mean, I think you can argue both ways, which one came first. But if you didn't have colorism, then you wouldn't have racism.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because I've noticed wherever it was a mass migration of ship sailing Europeans that came to help the savages become more civilized. There was always kind of this tier they put the natives on based off of skin complexion.
Right.
Like who gets treated better. Right. So that's why I'm wondering, like, was that the start of it? And then did you construct race after that?
Right.
Or was it just primarily seeing people of a different land and just, oh, here, what was the cap? It was Mongoloid, was supposed to be for Asian,
right.
Negroid for African descent, right. Sub-Saharan Africans.
Right.
So I'm just confused at where did it start? But they're so tied hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
You see hand it in hand. Like I said, in Asian cultures, and I've seen it in the Caribbean, at least with skin whitening cream.
Right.
You see it how it's depicted in the media.
Right.
And or even cartoons, you would notice like the darker cartoons being looked at as villainous.
Right.
You go back to the word itself. You know, we talked about
right.
how black was defined.
Right.
And all the negative, you know, condensation.
So it's negative. Black. Right. Black cat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the list goes on. But that's what I mean. It's so ingrained in the culture and the foundations of this country. It's not surprising that we can't get out of it. It's just so deep.
So why can't we just say we're not black, we're brown? Because if I took us to Home Depot and put the color chart
but
up on
now,
us.
Now they're saying, you know, people like from Arab nations and all that, they're brown. That's what they call them.
Yeah, but they
brown look, people. Mexicans are yeah. brown people.
But if you put Arabs us up skin to skin, we're not that far
that's
apart.
What I'm saying. But again, they do that to create yeah. separation. Now brown people got a problem with black people. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to, like you say, you put it next to each other with the same color. Why we got beef?
Yeah.
Because that helps them stay in power. You keep us fighting amongst ourselves, they keep running things. So that's why they keep labeling things.
Right. So now,
why would they change that? It's working to their advantage.
Yeah. But see, was it considered racist? Because again, race doesn't exist. I'm trying to keep right. that in the back
I know
of my
you,
mind.
I know it's so hard to not talk about it in that way because it's so ingrained. Yeah.
So with the prejudice seen from earlier people, descendants of, you know, the pilgrims and mm-hmm. people that colonized the United States earlier,
right.
was it considered racism when the Italians got here, when the Irish
yeah.
the Polish?
Oh, they didn't like them. They
no, but was it considered racism at the time? Or was that a prejudice? That's what I'm saying. Because now when you look at race, yeah.
that's
it's,
a good point.
Oh, but you're white.
Yes, yes. I think it was more of a prejudice then because a lot of them looked the same.
Right.
But to create that division, You went to where they were from is where you had a problem.
Yeah, because I noticed even a lot of like Irish descents, they will to hide who they were. You will like search names and see where names come from, and names right. like Mally and Patrick didn't exist. It was O'Malley, O'Patrick, but that was too much of a indication. You know where your grandpa came from.
Yeah. But that O was a giveaway.
So they just kind of cut that off and kept it moving.
Right. That O was the giveaway. But that's what I mean. And I was having I don't like to say conversation because that's not what happens on Twitter. But I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter about the whole about slavery and that. They love to say, well, black people weren't the only slaves. They were Irish slaves. But I'm like, ooh, slow it down. They might have been slaves or indentured servants in their country. But when they came here, they weren't. They were free people. That's why they came here to get out of that
sign
bondage
contract.
And that
yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
To get them here where they could be free. Black people, on the other hand, were free where they were. And were brought here and immediately went into servitude. Not the same thing. And I'm getting tired of them trying to compare it. It is totally not the same thing.
Yeah. Well, the biggest difference being one was a contract that was set to expire.
Exactly. And even if you don't want to make it that clean, let's say they were slaves. Let's say they were slaves where they were. They were not slaves when they got here.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's the end of the argument about, oh, there was other slaves other than black people or Africans. Don't care. Even if they were, and then the argument, the next stupid point that they bring up is that, well, they were slaves in Africa. They got sold to the slave traders. That doesn't matter. You don't get to get on a boat, go to a country that has its own conflicts, take those people and bring them back to your country to be slaves. That doesn't justify the fact that you made them slaves here because they were slaves in another country. And again, right. You didn't do that to the Irish and whoever else was slaves or indentured servants, wherever they were. You didn't get on boats and go over there and take them from over there and bring them here and make them slaves. You didn't do that. So stop this stupid comparison. The bottom line is you took people from another place and you made them slaves when you brought them to America. The first thing they did when they got here was be in servitude.
Right.
Period. That's not immigration. That is nothing like what happened to other cultures.
Right.
Period. And the comparisons need to stop because you sound ridiculous.
Well, to even piggyback off that, I can't recall the names, but the first African descended person that was actually pushed into slavery for a lifetime. I don't know how the rules work then, but he was actually a runaway with two indentured servants that were European descent.
Right.
They all escaped. The two indentured servants got time added to their indentured servitude for trying to leave.
For trying to leave, right.
He was given a life sentence.
Life sentence of
for
slavery.
His master, so to speak. And that was the first court recorded history of someone being in the United States put in slavery for life. And not to mention the other big difference, when you're in indentured servitude, your kids don't follow into a life sentence.
Right. They're not made slaves.
Or property.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So those comparisons need to stop.
Not saying it didn't suck.
And here's where I think, and again, just in the thought process of what's going on, they realize that. So what do they do? Now we're not even going to teach about slavery. See, this way now you don't get to make those comparisons. We're just not going to teach that to our youths.
Right.
That's what and let me be clear. I'm not talking about critical race theory, because critical race theory is not taught in any elementary school, junior high school,
law school,
high school, undergraduate school, college. The only place critical race theory is taught is in law school, period. And this whole, I don't want my children learning critical race theory, they weren't at all going to be. What you are now trying to label as critical race theory is history.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. History. Facts. History. That is what you're trying to label critical race theory. Critical race theory is not history. It's the teachings of how racism is systemic in society and how it affects the laws of this country. That is what critical race theory is. And that is not being taught in elementary, junior high school, undergrad, college, period. That is only being taught in one place, law school. And I need people to understand that and stop this bullshit about banning critical race theory to being taught to my child. It's not what's happening. What you want banned is history being taught to your child, because you will feel like it's going to hurt their feelings to know that they of their ancestors enslaved black people in this country. Period. Just say what it is and stop trying to always mask and hide and disguise your true plan. You don't want history taught in school because it's going to hurt your child's feelings. Okay? Just let's call it what it is. Because there's a law in Florida that they're trying to pass right now that you can't talk about racism
to white people because it's going to hurt their feelings. A law that is out. They're trying to make that a law. Why? It's what happened. It's what's causing the problems that we have today. That is why it needs to be taught so that we can try to quell this and stop this nonsense by just simply telling the truth. That is what's so frustrating about this era. This last 4 to 5 years, we have simply stopped believing facts and telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, people don't want their ideals challenged, I think. And I think we also deal with this.
But if your ideals are not good, they should be challenged. What do you mean? I don't want my ideals challenged. Your ideals must not be great as to why they're being challenged.
Well, see, here's some of the ideals. Hey, this is the land of the free. This is the best country, you know, in the world.
But it's not.
Those are, if those are your ideals, if it's better to say like, hey, we have some great things going on here and it's some shit that we still need to work on. That, you know, being realistic about your approach and what's going on here.
But that's not what they're doing.
No, I said it's best to be. But again, it's challenging their notion or how they feel about it. So when we deal with things like the national anthem and then, you know, you hear people of color say, hey, well, when this was written, it wasn't even for me. So, I mean, we could go to the second or third verse. We don't have to stop at the first.
Right. If you think that that song is legit, why'd you drop the other verses? Mm-hmm. Why weren't those verses in the national anthem? You know why? Because things changed. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So if you're willing to do that, why can't you go all the way with everything that needs to be changed because of what it is now? Because why are we trying to go backwards? I don't understand why we're trying to go back as opposed to going forward. How is going back to what really wasn't good for the country?
I think because when times change, we notice that we may not be keeping up or how we felt 20 years ago isn't the same now. Like, have you ever went back and listened to Delirious by Eddie Murphy or any other kind? Woo!
Yeah.
Some of that stuff played now would clearly not age well.
Yes. But here's the thing, right? If we know that, why can't we apply that to other things?
Because a lot of people that are in charge probably did some shit 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
That didn't age well, and it's best to sweep it under the rug instead of dig it back up. That's at least my opinion on why this thought process goes. No one wants to admit that, hey, you know, our thought process was a little jacked back here. And we shouldn't have been this way. No one wants to admit that fault to move on. So you cover it up and
I think that is such common knowledge now that really doesn't really make sense to try to do that.
Common knowledge for whom though?
Society?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about from a society standpoint. We clearly know people did shit that they weren't supposed to or that we deem not cool now. Back then, because that's what was accepted back then.
Right.
Not accepted now. So let's keep moving forward and get shit correct.
True.
You're gonna hide history? Hiding history is gonna do what? It's gonna do what for society in the future or moving forward if you don't discuss the past and the ills and the sins of the past. You don't discuss it. What does that mean? It didn't happen?
No, it's going to mean those kids of European descent going to become super woke when they get on TikTok and they get these history lessons in 60 seconds.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, too. With the way we are technology-wise, you think by not teaching slavery in school, it's they're never going to find out about it?
No.
Right. Why the uproar and the hullabaloo to stop history from being taught?
I think overall we baby the hell out of kids now.
No, I
think we do.
We don't. No,
I'm saying it's not everybody. Saying society. Yeah. Society. Mm,
okay. Yeah. Let's not blanket that. Yeah. Let's not get into the America's team thing. Let's not get into the American team. Do not blank it.
T, kids today are a little soft.
If that is what their parents allow to happen.
They still soft. You can allow, the kids are still a little soft. You can try to toughen them, but it's a difference.
What do you mean? So you mean if you try to toughen up your kids or you try to teach reality to your kids, just because of the way society is structured currently, they're still going to be soft? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think
but for you got kids.
I do.
And I'm sure you are teaching them
The
correct shit.
I am. They're still softer than me. I'm just saying, the shit we got in trouble for, it's a difference. There's a difference.
Okay, but the things we got in trouble for is because we tried to do what we could get away with. So your kids don't try to get away with nothing, is what you're saying?
They do. I think their tolerance to getting in trouble is just the end of the world. Like, everything is way different.
So you mean when they get caught, it's just so devastating to them?
It's very emotional. And I don't know if it has to do with the isolation. Wow. It's been taking place, like not dealing, being away from other kids for so long.
Right.
But yeah, I've noticed a huge difference in children today. They don't, I mean, think about it. We went outside. I know me and you are from different generations. I can only speak for myself, I came up, Atari, Nintendo, Sega, everything was booming. But guess what? Right. As soon as you heard kids outside, you grabbed your shoes, you cut the system off, you went in. Video games is made for rainy days or at night or when nobody was around.
Right.
But when your friends was there, we went outside.
Yeah.
Kids are not like that today. They will get online. They will play, via online, play from their phones, tablets.
I'm from an era that I didn't even have the video game.
Yeah, so you was on the stoop.
Right. I was outside constantly. That's what you lived for.
Yeah.
Right. As soon as you woke up, like especially on a Saturday, not so much during the week because you had school. But you wake up on Saturday and you looked out the side and it was decent weather.
Yeah.
First thing you wanted to do was go outside.
Now, I did do my Saturday morning cartoons with cereal. Everybody did that.
Oh, yeah, you got to do your cereal. Right? Yeah. Got to get fuel. Got to get fuel for the week.
As soon as that first bit of laughter or chatter happened outside,
yeah.
I'm out.
First time the real TV shows came on, time to go. It's time to go. It's outside time. Right, exactly.
And we live for that.
But yes, but this era... it's not like that for them.
So
okay, I get that.
I don't know if it's kind of babying them in that way, but like I said, I don't baby my kid. I don't.
No, I didn't think you did. So that's why I was a little surprised at what you were saying.
But they still, I understand. I'm just saying.
Really? Kids are soft? Your kids are soft? I'm like, what?
Compared to the way we grew up? Yes. And you know what? My dad would probably say the same thing about me. Compared to his, you know what I'm saying? It was different times.
Yeah.
We had I grew up with street light curfew. My kids they don't leave the front yard. Yeah, right, front yard. Right. That's as far as they go.
Yeah, we were
going up and down the block and that street light pop. Oh, snap, gotta run home. You gotta be an earshot at least.
Yeah, at least be an earshot or eyesight.
I'm coming. But we had free reign and we grew up in bigger cities than the suburbs. So I don't know if that's why they do it, but
Suburban kids are soft then.
Of course. Of course. It's safe. It's supposed to be safe.
Okay, so let's get it straight. Suburban rural kids are soft.
Yes, because I'm not in the city.
City kids being soft, man. The lifestyle makes you have to step up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be soft in the city. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I guess, depending on your financial status in life, you could have a certain amount of softness if you live in the city.
Comforts, yeah.
But if, urban-wise, you better not be soft in the city. You will get eaten alive.
Yeah. But, it's just things that I've noticed with that. But going back to, talking about the construct of race, I'm not in position to say how quote unquote white kids are being raped. Like, I don't know what that's like. Now, my stepdaughter looks very Eurocentric.
Okay.
Like, her mom's mixed. Mm-hmm. But if you look at her, you probably couldn't tell that she had African-American. If you ask her, she would consider herself white just based off of her appearance. She's right. Like, yeah, this is, if I say I'm mixed with black, no one's going to believe me.
Right.
It's the same thing with my eldest daughter, Daya. She's half Afro-Latina.
Right.
But she looks, quote unquote, black.
Right.
And so when she would have Latin friends and try to relate to them, talking right. about, oh, yeah, I went to Quinceañera too, they would look at her crazy. Like, not realizing like,
what?
That, yeah,
what?
She's half Latin. Right. You know what I mean?
No, I get you.
So it's that whole construct of what you look like and how the world's going to perceive you.
Sure.
And so you get thrown in this box. But what does that even mean? Like you said.
What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean? What does that, not so much what does that mean in general, what does that mean to people like Mitch McConnell? So what do you consider us then? Do you know what I mean? Second class. Yeah. So that means we really should, well, I guess that's why.
I guess
that's why they're doing what they're doing with voting and redistricting and gerrymandering and all that. Right. Because why should I accommodate you? Because you're second class citizens.
Yeah.
But then you lie in front of the cameras that everything is equal. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by him saying what he really believed by saying African Americans and Americans, separating the two. It's because that's what he really believes. So you're basically lying about the gerrymandering and the redistricting and the taking away drop boxes in urban areas and making it harder, making people stand online 10 hours to vote. You're doing all of that because you believe that black people aren't really Americans. And like, you're kind of forced to at least give the appearance that you want them to vote and that you want them to participate in society. So you got to get up in front of the mic and say, oh, they're voting in the same numbers as the rest of us.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Well, then that's horrible, I put it on, man. Who's the journalist there, though? You got to ask the follow-up question. So what's the difference between African-Americans and Americans? Like, we're the journalists to push back on these questions.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Because to me, that was an easy one. I was like, ooh, I got him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah. So what do you think, you know, and I'm saying this to McConnell, so what do you think the uproar is on the other side about drop boxes being taken away and making it a crime to give people waiting online water and food while they're waiting online for 10 to 12 hours? What do you think those things are? Legit? You know what I mean? Can you explain that to me?
Like you said,
a journalist needs to ask that. But so I'm asking it. Unfortunately, I'm not in front of him to ask him that. But that's what I'm asking. So those things that you clearly know as a lawmaker are being made law.
Right.
How do you think that benefits black people voting? How do you justify it?
They know it doesn't, but that's helping their means to win whatever seat, you know, whatever elections and seats they're going for at that time. That's how they try to even it out.
But do you think that people are just dumb? That they're not seeing that? You know what I don't want to sound, again, I'm not trying to Pollyanna things, but I'm just like, but I see that those things don't benefit me.
Right.
Why should I just accept the fact that you say that it doesn't affect me?
I don't know, but politicians are supposed to sell you these ideas and dreams. It's not supposed to be factual all the time, as we see. It's, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear in order to get what I need from you, and that's your vote.
But he don't, he ain't trying to get my vote.
No, not yours.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Right. The people that are backing him. You'll have people that vote for him that, A, could care less. You know, they have their own individual interests.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may have individuals that's their tribalism. Hey, it's more about people that look, it's the true Americans, people that look like me,
right,
that should matter the most. Right. You still have that faction.
I just find that unbelievable in this day and time, with as much knowledge and access to information that we have, that you seriously think you can pull this off and nobody's gonna say nothing.
It would take your own side to check you. And who on that side is checking them?
Right.
Because, I mean, you see on the left, they self-cannibalize. I still.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you That's mess horrible. Up on the left, they'll step down.
They'll do themselves in a minute.
Yeah.
But won't do nothing about the other side. Who's truly doing bad things?
So, again, why are you playing with different sets of rules in the same game?
Yeah. That's why they'll never win. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Like, you know, Al Franken was my guy, man.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if they wouldn't have did him dirty, you might not be in this situation.
Right.
Because he wasn't afraid to speak his mind.
Right. You had to just stood your ground there.
Mm-hmm.
Things might be slightly different. Mm-hmm. But when they saw you were able to do that to your own, they were like, oof,
and
we're going to be able to run roughshod over y'all.
And they'll never do that to their side.
Oh, never.
So,
oh, come on. Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
Come on. My man is being investigated for pedophilia and child trafficking. And they say nothing. Mm. Can you imagine if it was a Democrat in that same position?
Yeah.
They would be losing their minds. Mm-hmm.
You see, Bill had to be in after the whole, what's my man?
Epstein?
Epstein. Yeah. Yeah. Bill's been kind of hidden for a while.
Yeah, Bill's been on the DL, on the serious down low. But that's what I mean. If that was a Democrat?
Yeah.
Wow. As much as they be talking about the child pornography and pedophilia amongst Democrats, mm-hmm. is that they're saying cabals that eat children and all kind of bullshit like that. And you got a guy who's being investigated by the government for those same actions.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all have said, y'all didn't take him off no committees. Y'all haven't censured him. Nothing.
Mm.
What's going to happen if the feds come back and go, yeah, this guy is guilty of the, and we have the proof of him. What will they say then? Or will they even say anything?
They'll just deal with it there. Hey, well, he's guilty. We have him. He's taking his power away. He's going to serve his time or whatever needs to be done. And they'll brush it under the rug and keep moving. But again, they're not going to make that preemptive strike first and like, oh, let's kick him out of there. He's still useful to him, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, it hasn't been a problem.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You and I see it.
Hmm?
We can't be the only ones. How do they continue to get away with it?
Like I said, if that side doesn't care, there's nothing you can do. Because if you're still getting votes, if people are still believing in you, what can you do?
Did you see Cory Booker, his thing on the floor of the Senate?
No.
Oh, man. Yo, he went off. But here's the thing. He didn't go off angrily. He went off with facts.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, we love
them.
We're big fans of facts and truth. Mm-hmm. He just, because I think Tim Scott, the dude from South Carolina,
right,
Uncle Tim, said some old bullshit prior to Corey speaking. And like Corey was like, yo, hold up. I can't let that go.
Mm-hmm.
When here are the facts. And like he asked them, the body of Congress, like, you know, this is the fact. How do you sit here and applaud what this guy just said, knowing the facts? And he just rattled off fact after fact. And like, I'm like, yeah, why is it somebody just said that to them? Like stop saying that, because it's not true. And again, it goes back to what I'm saying about the last 4 or 5 years, we have just gone to like, I don't care if it's true or if it's facts. If it doesn't agree with what I need, I'm just going to keep saying what I want to say. I'm like, when did that be okay?
It's just, it's the confirmation bias to a tribalistic society, man. So if it fits the narrative, if it helps your side, if it helps your argument, there you just ride with it.
Because we know for a fact, there was no fraud in the election of 2020. We know that as a fact.
Mm.
It was confirmed by so-called people on that side.
Right.
That it was a clean and fraudulent election. But yet this guy still goes around the country, says it was a fraud election,
And then when his followers are asked, they go, yeah, yeah, I believe him over the facts.
Yeah.
How?
Because everybody needs a boogeyman. And right now, if you're left or right, it seems like it's going to be the opposite side, regardless of what's said. So now, as far as the right dealing with, you know, was it 45?
Okay, side, why not? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this? Why not just say that? Don't go, I believe there was fraud. Just say, look, I don't like the other side. I want my guy. I don't care how jacked up he is. He's who I like. So yeah, I'm just going with him. I don't care about the fraud. There doesn't have to be fraud. I just want this guy. Mm. Why can't you do that?
Why do you have to? Or are you talking about the?
Yeah, I'm talking about his followers.
Followers. Okay.
Why say you believe something that you know and has been proven to you is not true, just because you want to support your guy? Why not just support your guy? But why do you have to keep perpetrating the lie, which is making it even more divisive in this country, than just say, hey, that's my guy. I don't care how fucked up he is. That's who I want. Because you know he is fucked up,
yeah,
and he's not good for everybody. So you have to cling to the lie, because that is what gives you security in believing the shit you believe.
Yeah. The educated ones I come across and know, they will admit that. They'll be like, look, I'm not saying he's a saint. I'm not. But then they'll give you X, Y, Z on why they would vote for him as opposed to the other guy.
Right.
I've heard. But there's a lot of uneducated people on both sides that repeat a lot of bullshit.
Right.
So that's all it takes. Like you've seen the clips, regardless if it's a, you know, left wing voters or right wing voters. You'll get someone knowledgeable that'll come asking basic, simple questions, right, and you'll see and you see it, all the stuttering and everything. It's lack of education.
Right.
But again, this is why I'm kind of anti-mainstream news, or it's still a good source, but you need to listen to all sides. You need to read it. You need to hear it from different angles.
Sure.
To absorb it. But people, it's either, oh, I only watch Fox, I only watch CNN.
But if you're only watching a media outlet that's just bold-faced lying,
yeah,
that's a problem. Now, mainstream media, I don't think so much lies as it kind of just frames the story more to what their side is. They may be more left-leaning. They try to say they're down the middle, but you could tell it leans to the left. But they don't lie necessarily. They may omit some facts because it doesn't gel. But I've not seen them just outright lie about something. And then even if they say something incorrect, they do come back and go, yeah, we have to make a correction on that. We said so and so, and that's not the case.
Well, but except for ivermectin.
But that's still okay. Even
they said it was horse dewormer.
There is a horse dewormer that is after it.
True. And to me, in my opinion, by CNN repeating that, that's what caused motherfuckers to go buy horse dewormer. You kept calling it that. You just say, doctor prescribed ivermectin. So, let me rush to get to my doctor and get all this ivermectin. You said horse dewormer. That's what was in graphics.
Well, I guess that's what I mean by they framed
the shit out of that. Yeah.
Okay. But I don't see as much just bold face not telling the truth as I see in right leaning media.
Right.
They will take what's truly a fact and turn it around. And like, hold up.
Because they do it weird, though. They do it like in a form of a question. Like, should we think about this? Like, you see, like, they frame it funny.
Yeah. Because they know they're not telling the truth. Yeah.
And it's always coming across as they're implying, not actually saying
it to me.
And when I hear their clips.
And they're never truly news outlets. No. They're either opinion shows or internet news. Internet news, you can say whatever you want. Doesn't have to be true.
Yeah.
That's why they're internet news.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then the ones that are on, you know,
public, you know, mainstream on the right, just outright lie.
Yeah. Well, that's because when people come on telling the truth, you get hurried up.
yeah, you notice
you see that.
That
segment, that commercial break comes up a little quicker.
Yeah. But I think contributes to the problem. You can't look, man, back your guy. I'm not saying don't back your guy. I don't care how terrible he is. If that's your guy, that's your guy. But don't lie to do it.
We'll see.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's the format also of the news. Like you say, one side can frame it however they want. The other can imply and, you know, push these lies and narratives that they need to.
Right.
Is this why they hate somebody that does long form podcasts like Joe Rogan, where you can actually have to sit down in front of somebody 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours?
Yeah.
Have your ideas and thoughts challenged. He has his man on the computer. Right. You know, wait, can I get a fact check on that?
Right.
to put things up.
But I've seen people fact check him on his own show too.
And guess what? And he will what? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he will change his stance and opinion and come back.
Yeah. I gotta give him that. But yeah, he does get fact checked on his own show.
I love that. I love that back and forth of not saying, hey, I know it all.
Right.
It's ask questions, find out, get the answers.
Right.
Cause I mean, sorry, when he stumped that doctor over the whole, you know, virus thing, that was kind of embarrassing. He didn't know what he was going in for. Because my favorite part was him like, hey,
Gupta. It was Gupta.
He came in like, hey, Joe, look at this. And he brought a Joe Rogan face mask. And Joe was like, okay, nice. You bought one of my face masks. And his presumption was Joe Rogan was anti-face mask, anti-vaccine. He was like, no, motherfucker, I sell these things. What the fuck?
Yeah. How can I be anti and I'm selling it? Yeah. Right.
So and they're not prepared for that kind of hot mic situation. You know, you put on the hot seat. Now we have to, there's no hiding. You're not going to get saved by Don Lemon.
go
to commercial break and have shit framed.
But here's the thing. Just like you were saying earlier about, you know, when somebody is on those right wing shows telling the truth, they get hurried off, go to a quick commercial. That doesn't happen on CNN when they have right wingers on there. The right wingers cut themselves off. Oh, this is the end of the interview. This is, all right, I didn't come on here. I didn't know we were going to be discussing this. That's what happens on the left when they do that. So there's opportunities on the left for the right to say what they want to say to an audience that's not in their favor. But when they get checked on their shit, they suddenly either are babbling or they end the interview.
You see
what I'm saying? So
it's got to be like a better form of this. You need like just somebody that's straight down the middle for facts, and you bring in opposing sides to argue and, you know, state their case, and to have that person in real time like, oh, that's bullshit. This is true.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, let's take that example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say CNN, everybody has the fact that there was no fraud in the election, right? Can we agree on that? Can we agree that from all the audits, all the lawsuits, it was found out that there wasn't a significant amount of fraud that would have changed the outcome of the election? Can we agree on that?
They would have made a big uproar.
But no.
I'm just saying.
Again, let's not layer it.
What
I'm saying is, can we agree baseline that based on all the audits, all the lawsuits, there wasn't enough fraud to be found to say that it would change the outcome of the election?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying if it were, they would have let us know.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So we can agree that that's the case. Now, I'm CNN. With that information, with those facts, I bring on Rudy Giuliani, who's saying that there's all this fraud, is everywhere. I got tons of evidence. You bring him on and you go, could you please present your evidence? Because you had multiple times in front of a judge where you could have dropped this evidence and you didn't, or you didn't, we found out it was garbage. Why do you still persist to say that there was fraud in the election? Here's your opportunity to convince the other side. Your side believes it. Here's your opportunity to convince the side that doesn't believe you that you have the evidence and that there's widespread fraud. Go. But they won't come on and do that. So what does that say? What does that tell you?
The game is to be sold. You know how the game goes. That's it.
But see, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You, if you can't do that, then that means it's not. It doesn't exist. I'm sorry, it doesn't exist. And it doesn't. It makes no sense to me that you continue to go around saying it when you know it's not true. The pillow guy, perfect example. Every couple of weeks, he has this huge convention where he's going to drop all this evidence, and that he has so much evidence that he could put 3 million people in jail. He's actually going around saying this, Fred.
Yeah.
That he's got evidence of fraud that he can feasibly put 3 million Americans. First of all,
it's a lot,
right?
In now, jail. Is he talking about fraud? Like
people? For fraud, okay, yes, fraud. For fraud. 3 million people.
So is it voter fraud? He has this evidence. Voter fraud?
Yes.
Okay.
He has this evidence that he could put 3 million people in jail.
What, he put some kind of brainwave activities in the pillows?
But see, that's what I'm saying. How does this guy keep doing that? Like every couple of weeks? Oh, I'm gonna have this huge convention. I'm renting time on television to drop this tremendous evidence, and then when it happens, oh, there was a glitch. Oh, somebody hacked me. Okay, we're gonna come back in a couple of weeks. And he keeps doing it. It's a con.
Mm-hmm.
How does he continue to do that? How are people still believing it? Is what I'm saying.
Can't tell people what to believe in. And I'm saying, if again, I take it like how we were going with the whole race thing. Everybody has this ability to be tribalistic. And if this is your group, sometimes it's better than facts as being on the winning side, or we're right, they're wrong. I can't explain it to you. That's just what I see.
But facts and truth. Mm-hmm. Are the only right things. There's no black and white in facts.
No, but there's catchphrases. Fake news. You have to say it.
There's catchphrases. Wrong. Wrong.
So I'm just saying, and that's what it was about. I'm sorry, Donald Trump was entertaining. I mean, he was,
but
you knew it was going to be funny.
But okay, All right, and here's the million-dollar question. That if this is the path we're on, what's the end game here?
It's uncharted waters right now.
Wow.
It seriously is. I couldn't tell you. Like we talked about on a few shows ago, what's next and who do you put out there? I don't think Biden can do this again. I don't think his body could take it. Approval rating he does, him and VP Harris has, you can't run with them.
Well, not even so much the presidency and all of that is what I mean in the end game. I mean, this non-believing of fact and this belief or this thought process that you want to live in a certain kind of country that really, from a feasibility standpoint, can't really exist, how is that going to end? That's what I mean. I'm not even talking about, for me in the thought process, the president, that's too localized for me. I'm talking about how is this country going to survive moving forward when people don't believe in facts and truth anymore?
Well, at least the political leaders, I don't think the long game necessarily comes to mind. Everything is short because look at the age. Look at the age of most of our politicians. Why are they worried about 20, 30 years down the line?
Right.
Because like how's it going to be? Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So at least that's what I see. Nothing's looked at as far as forecasting into the future. Where does this take us from here? How do we get better and move forward as a society? That's not what it's about. It's about getting those votes right now. It's about getting that power. It's about getting those favors done, putting people in seats, putting people on committees. That's what it's about. What did you do for me? How can I get you, your return on investment on my campaign or whatever it was, whatever favors that were garnered to help me get to this spot. So, yeah, I don't think there is a thought process of the future.
So when will those followers or
believers in that side start to realize that nothing's being done for them personally anymore.
When they're too old to care. I mean, hate to be short with the answer.
Because I guess that's the answer.
Yeah, you just kind of get old, kind of curmudgeon-y.
Because they're not, that side is not doing anything from a governing standpoint for them. So other than, well, I mean, again, what do they want to see happen as to why they back that? Do you know what I'm saying? What do they want to see happen? That's why you're throwing all your efforts behind that group.
Usually what? Less government, less regulations, less taxes.
Okay, how does that help you? If you're not rich, okay, you live in some rural part of the country, how does that help you live a better life?
It's tough. I don't live in those rural areas. Because like I said, it's really tough when we have like concentrated areas like California, New York, where we have such a population density compared to Oklahoma, you know, Nevada, places where it's spread out and wide open.
Right.
We're not going to encounter the same issues.
No, we're not. But that's what I'm saying. Whatever their issues are, how is backing them going to fix them and fix your issues?
Usually guns and God.
I mean, and I ask that because they're not governing. Mm-hmm. They're not putting forth any bills or policies to better their constituents' lives. All they're feeding them is lies and hype.
Well, again,
so, like, when do they realize that that's all they're getting?
The boogeyman picture that they paint is they're coming for your guns.
Yes.
They're coming for your religious freedom.
Yes. And they've been telling you that for how many years and it hasn't happened? So,
but the threat is still.
When do you at some point go, okay, I still have my gun. And so, like, okay, what else is happening? Like, why am I not being able to feed my kids? Why don't I have a job?
Right.
When will you address that issue for me? Or is the racism and all that enough for them? Like, I'll be poor. As long as I'm better than that guy, I don't care. Is that where they're at in this? Because again, you're not getting anything. You're not getting health care. You're not getting anything from them to better your life other than rhetoric and hype.
But
so is that all you need?
Well,
if you're that side,
since chattel slavery, it's always been about having a boogie or probably before then. It's about having that boogeyman. So
but I mean, that's all you need. That's you'll be happy.
Yeah, we saw it with 9/11 with people of Middle Eastern descent.
Right.
We saw it with the mass migrations we had when all the cartel shit from south of the border.
Right.
There's always going to be a boogeyman. You've seen it with when the virus jumped out of Wuhan, it was anyone that was Asian. All of a sudden, you just needed that boogeyman.
So that side, that's all they need to survive is to have a hate for somebody, or that. So they're living and feeding their children on hate-filled situations.
Well,
at what point do they need jobs and money and
they do, but see,
healthcare. When do they want that?
When you have that boogeyman, those things tie into place.
And then when the other side that you don't like is actually trying to give you that, like, they're not just giving that to the people that like them. Mm-hmm. That's something that the whole country will benefit from, but yet your side knocks it down. And you don't have a problem with that?
Well, it's being painted that immigrants are taking your job. They're using up the healthcare system. It still goes back to that. Who's your boogeyman?
Okay. So at what point do the people who actually are not getting their jobs taken away from them go, I have my job. Nobody's taking my job. So what, when do people realize that they're being conned? When does that happen?
It depends on the con artist.
What's it going to take for that to happen?
It's sloppier con artist, because then they switch it to, well, okay, they didn't take your job, but guess what? This is why you pay all that money in taxes. You're paying for these people that don't have jobs, people that are wealth. It's always going to be the goalposts.
I'm gonna be them for a minute. Okay, that's what you told me. Okay, but didn't you guys pass a bill that cut the taxes of people who make much more money than I do, how did that benefit me?
Trickle down.
But I'm not seeing that trickle down. So,
oh, that's because of regulations and taxes. We can't do what we need to do because the left won't. It's always going to be something that they can put. You move the goalposts every time.
Yeah, yeah.
When again, if it's absence of fact and you can't provide that information to XYZ, this is why it's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
So as you see, like it's how you word things. It's there's a labor shortage. It's a lack of good jobs.
Right, it's a lack of good jobs.
Like people
right.
realize, like, I ain't doing that bullshit work. Like,
right.
I can do other things to make money and right. be closer to my family right. instead of, you know, commuting and working these low wages.
Right.
So it's all in the wording.
So, yeah. So how it's presented to you. But, man, okay, then why doesn't, again, I don't want to sound like I don't know what's happening, but I'm just trying to look at it in realistic terms. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're right. So you're selling that to them and they're buying it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's not buying it. There's a section of people that see through that bullshit and go, yeah. That's bullshit. But so what about those people? You know what I mean?
Then I think at that point, if you see it, if you understand it's bullshit, but you're still going for it, then those are, in my opinion, probably single issue voters. So then it's just what it ties to. Is it guns? Is it vaccine mandates? Yeah. What
they don't
is it?
Care about everything else.
Yeah.
It's just whatever
this is the most important thing.
Yeah. Whatever they've microscoped in on is
right.
their issue. If they feel like they're handling that or at least in favor of it.
Yeah.
Then,
And that's another issue with being so tribalistic on being right or left, because then it's like, oh, can you be, you know, pro-choice, but still, you know, a gun rights activist? Like, you right. see how you fall into these lines that, ooh, who do I give my vote to?
Right.
And then it comes down to what issues most pressing to you.
Wow.
Yeah. It puts you in a weird conundrum. I know.
Yeah, it really does. It really, really does. Because I just don't see a good outcome if this is the trend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I still think it's just a loop. And what we're seeing is with the two-party system is always going to be a pendulum swing.
Right.
So it's who's in office now? Oh, no one's happy. So here comes midterms. It's going to swoop. Pendulum swing goes the other direction. Then you see what happens there. And then it helps dictate what's going to happen with the next president election.
But when you start tinkering and fucking with how people vote so that you can win, to me, that doesn't seem like it's a pendulum swing.
So
you know that you're not going to win. So I got to do some shit to make sure I win. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a pendulum swing. It's not necessary that the country is swinging in your direction because what's happening is not good enough for them.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, I get that, but this is not a pendulum swing moment.
Mm.
If the right is, this is what they're running on, their platform, I don't see everybody going, yeah, let's try that for a while. I don't see the pendulum swinging like that.
You don't have to.
So what you do is you fix shit around the country. You gerrymander, you tinker, you take away shit so that you can guarantee you win. Not because the people want you to win,
mm-hmm.
because you want to win. So it's not a pendulum swing to me. That's not a pendulum swing.
It's also people falling off.
Because I don't think people want to go to the other side. That shit is so bad for them, right, what they're getting, that they want to suddenly go with whatever the other side is doing right now.
Make no mistake, for the pendulum to swing, you don't have to go to the other side. You just have to not show up.
Right. Or have your vote suppressed.
Yeah.
Because I don't think at this juncture people are not going to show up. I think people truly know what's at stake now.
We got to worry about fuckery with the mail-in ballots, I think, more so than anything. Like you said, the drop boxes. That's where I think we're going to head to, especially in this, you know, post-pandemic era.
Right. Yeah.
People are going to try to find ways of doing it without. I mean, come on now. You have so much access. You can't even have a Twitter account now without your phone number being attached to it. There is no technology that we could vote from our phone.
Exactly.
Like, you put in your social security, take a picture of yourself. Like, there's nothing that could be done.
Yes. Of course there is. But again, if you did that, one side would definitely not win. You see what I'm saying? And it goes back to what I've always said to you. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
It's a numbers game. You can't win a numbers game.
So fix the voting system. And then hopefully politicians, wherever they, what side they choose,
but they're trying to fix the voting system with the Voting Rights Act, and two people on the other side are the reason it's not happening. Two people on the side of supposed the right thing voted against it being changed. How are you supposed to win when your own side is working against you?
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That goes with what you're saying, you said earlier. Their own side worked against them in trying to fix voting.
So I can only guess it was some kind of favoritism. Somebody owed somebody.
Or somebody paid somebody.
Yeah.
Or somebody make money.
Yeah.
Because how do you support the voting rights bill, but don't support the actions needed to make the bill happen? You got to get rid of that filibuster.
You got to
amend it or whatever you have to do to it. And two people on their side voted against it.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to win?
Mm.
You finally have the majority that you could do shit, and two people in your own camp stop you from doing it. Supposedly in your camp.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly got voted under your umbrella, where the majority of the people in your umbrella want this thing, and you too voted against it. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Couldn't tell you, man. Like I said, I can only speculate. Right now, it's like we said, favor, money, promise to power or position somewhere else.
Like you said, they're trying to fix it. They're trying to fix it. They're trying to make the playing field as level as even as possible. But they got struck down by their own. That's what I mean, man. This cannot have a good outcome.
No. But I think
I just don't see a good outcome.
Sometimes shit's got to burn down, man, before it gets better.
Oh, really?
I know people hate to hear that, but hey.
Oh, come on, bro.
Like, you ever been to hiking out where it's been like a wildfire or stuff? You see all the beautiful flowers popping up because now all the trees are going. Like, see, hey, I hate to say it, but sometimes the shit has that. You have to see shit get really, really bad before it's like, oof. I mean, think of in our profession. People don't come to us when it's like, oh, hey, I'm starting to feel out of shape or anything. It's like, damn.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened?
What do we got to do? Yeah. Oh, my God. We got work to do.
I went and got my blood work ran. This is, ooh. Sometimes shit's got to get really bad before you notice it's time to get better.
To get better. Wow. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's end on that happy note.
Okay. So segue for that. Can you put up a poll? Because I want to...
Oh, okay.
Brad, I want to get back more into the race thing.
Okay.
Is it possible? I guess you don't have to limit it to just black people, but can minorities be racist?
Can minorities be racist?
In theory, by definition, just whatever however you want to word it, let's get a poll. I'm very interested in seeing the public's opinion on this.
All right. So I will put a poll up on our social medias. Can non-whites be racist? Because the racism that we see generally is whites to not whites is generally where we see the racism. Now, not to say it doesn't exist, see, and that to go into your question, it doesn't necessarily not exist amongst non-whites, but I think
towards white.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it up. I'm interested. Right.
Okay. So that's how I'm going
to
word it.
And we could wrap an hour and a half to two off
exactly.
This
can non-whites be racist?
Non-whites.
Non-whites. Be racist.
Towards whites or just in general?
In general.
Okay.
Because that's what you asked, yes? Right?
Okay.
Right.
Making sure. Can non-whites yes. be racist?
Can non-whites be racist?
Mm. Okay.
I'll put up a poll.
And by whites, just because I'm personally trying to get off, like I said, the whole black, white, the color thing is.
Yes, yes.
But we're talking about people of majority European descent.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. As opposed to people who are not generally of European consent.
Gotcha.
Okay. So because that is, like I said, that's generally how we view racism.
Right.
And, you know, it's, yeah. White people being racist against black people or being racist against Arabs or brown people.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Can the other side be racist?
Okay. This should be fun.
Now, I'm going to preface it with, please understand the definition of racism when you vote. Okay? And that's all I will say on that. Just understand the true definition of racism and then make your vote. Okay?
Bet.
I mean, is that fair? Is what I'm not trying to hedge it one way or the other. Mm. What I'm trying to do is make sure that people understand what racism is.
Now, you're basing it off the Webster's because it's a couple different. There's a couple different definitions floating around. I'm just saying.
I'm going to go with Webster's.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go with Webster's because Webster's kind of puts it definitively what racism is. And I'm doing air quotes. Yeah. I know we're on a podcast, people can't see it. But what racism is.
Right.
Okay. So maybe before you answer the poll, just go check the definition and then feel free to vote however you feel you need to vote. But understand what racism is before you answer. That's the way I feel.
Mm.
Because racism is a particular thing. And I think some people will take racism as one thing. And it's not. Racism is a series of things that apply. Okay, is that fair?
Fair.
All right. So okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put a poll up on our social medias. I will put it up on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
Can I do a poll on Twitter? There's an ability to poll on Twitter. You know, I'm not big on the Twitter.
Yeah, I'll help you out.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Generation. Thank you. Thank you, Generation, for doing that. I appreciate it. But I will definitely, yes, you will help me with the Twitter.
Mm.
But I will definitely put one up on Instagram and Facebook. And then that will be our topic on the next podcast.
Okay.
Okay? So this way we know what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss the poll. And we're going to discuss if non-whites can be racist. Okay? That'll be the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what you guys out there set in the poll. Okay. And you can also leave comments on our social media too. Like if you feel like your vote wasn't enough to explain your position.
Go into detail.
Go on our social medias and leave us a comment as to why you voted the way you did or what you even feel about the poll itself. I mean, you know, it could be something you can't answer straight up yes or no.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. So if that's the case, then by all means, you know, drop us whatever, you know, your thought process is on it. And we appreciate that. And Fred and I'll discuss it on the next episode. Yes?
Of course.
Sounds like a winner. All right. On that note, let's get about it. I got to get these polls up.
Time to go to work.
All right. Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the More to the Point podcast. Hopefully we said some things that, you know, sparked conversation and thought in your mind. And that's all we try to do here on More to the Point. All right. Till next time, please be kind to your fellow man. Do not text and drive. And Fred and I will see you on our next episode.
And as always, we love and appreciate you guys.
We do. We do. And we're out. Take care. Love and peace.
Thanks for listening. And check us out on social media at the More to the Point Podcast.